Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Burner Files podcast, episode 2, coming to you from a basement in Toronto. I'm your host Hans.
I'm your co-host Paul.
And tonight we're going to be talking about skate parks, UFOs, violent EDM controversies, escapism, fear, and I actually have a 15-minute guest mix by myself for you guys. Tonight's episode is going to be more along the lines of a tripped out episode. We're going to explore a lot of different kinds of music, and I think you guys are going to like this one, so enjoy. So I know you, Paul, you and I watched this YouTube a little while ago with this gentleman, Hamish Patterson, also known as The Illusion, and he's a skateboarder. And he had an interview with Richie Jackson, who's like this guy who does all these weird hippie tricks, dresses up in 70s gear.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's totally cool. Well, this guy, The Illusion, I mean, he's amazing. He invented the illusion flip. I don't know if any of you guys are skaters, but he made up this trick. He's been like skating, whatever, since the 70s, I think. But they had this crazy interview, and they all just went super like gnarly spiritual, even like talked about psychedelics, you know, their effect on skateboarding, everything. And he had this actual kind of cool thing to talk about UFOs in relation to skate parks on the earth. And he actually said that he thought that skate parks were landing docks for UFOs, and like the bowls and, you know, all that, those areas in the parks were like where the UFOs would, you know, land when they're about to, you know, reclaim Earth.
So was that like, how's that related to crop circles? Is that the same thing?
So I don't know. I mean, bowls are kind of circles. Crop circles are circles as well. So there could be a relation to that, but I don't really know.
And some people say crop circles are man-made, and definitely skate parks are man-made. So
yeah, well, exactly. Well, his point was that, you know, skate parks were going to be like the landmarks that were left after like the decimation of the entire Earth.
Wow.
So, you know, they wouldn't, I mean, there wouldn't even be the pyramids anymore. There wouldn't be the, you know, all the seven wonders of the world would be extinct except for skate parks. And when they come down, they just go and they chill and they just perfectly fit into the skate bowls.
So these are monuments.
These are monuments created to host extraterrestrial life, and that's why he thinks the vibes of skaters are so large.
But also, I mean, they definitely accommodate like your average kickflip and your form and function.
A full array of tricks can be done on the skate parks. Obviously, doesn't take a genius to figure that out. But man, I thought he was pretty cool. You know, he seems a bit out there, but at the same time, he's got a lot of good vibes. I think, fuck it.
Well, I mean, he makes some moves that you have to watch like 10 times and you still can't figure out how it's an illusion of time and space.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of his points are kind of, they're illusions to my mind. It takes me like 3 or 4 retries of listening to his stuff to actually, you know, understand what he's trying to say. Maybe that's the effect of too much acid, but
there's
on
a bit
his
of that.
Part, not mine.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. So, like, if you want to, it's, the listeners want to look that up, what would you suggest? Like, what video?
Yeah, I don't know. You just go on www.youtube.com and search Richie Jackson and The Illusion interview. And it's like literally, it's like an hour long thing. And, you know, I suggest you like crack a beer, smoke a dube, and just chill. It's a great decompressor. And you'll understand a lot about skateboarding and the originations and the vibes of extraterrestrial communication and the board itself. So, I mean,
well, you sound knowledgeable on this too, right?
I mean, I've been a skateboarder since I was 10 years old, so.
Is this a confession, Hans?
A confession of what?
Well, you say that you're convinced that there's a correlation there. And
I'm just relaying the knowledge that's been imparted to me through the World Wide Web. I am currently undecided on the fact, but you know, it makes a pretty convincing argument, man. I mean, you listen to this dude talk about it. He's got more conviction than me on it. I think he knows what he's talking about, but you know, a lot of weird things have been happening lately. I mean, even in the EDM news,
EDM news time.
EDM news time. Interesting news about the group Cruella. Paul, you want to take this one?
Oh, Cruella. So they recently had a, shall we say, a very public split.
Divorce of such.
Exactly. It's two sisters. What's their names again, Pence?
I don't know.
Okay, we don't know. But it doesn't matter.
They're good looking.
They're beguiling. So it's two sisters.
They're like Beetlejuice, girls.
And they worked with a producer. And
was the dude a producer?
Yes, apparently he is the guy mainly behind the production aspects.
So they basically just took all of his samples and ran.
There's some controversy as to his professional functionalism, because apparently he was getting turned up all the time.
Oh, so it may have been a substance problem.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Interesting.
The two women decided they had had enough. They fired him ostensibly. Now, of course, when you have something that valuable, lawyers get involved. There's copyrights.
Sure. Yeah.
And so it amounted to a $10 million or $5 million suit.
Like a settlement that he got or against him?
Well, that's what's being he put forward. Because, whenever you have a band, it equals a brand, and that gets valued and split between the members. Right. So anyway, there's a little bit of a he said, she said, school, out of school, telling tales. But, they're the worst, he's the worst. But the bottom line is he's no longer with Cruella. And he put out his own remix recently.
Oh, yeah.
Which... you know what? The reception, I think, generally was a bit flat. And Cruella themselves also put out a new track recently.
Yeah, they did. I wanted to say something before you you play this track. How do you fire a bandmate? I mean, I've never been fired. I mean, I've been in bands, but I've never been fired. I mean, in that professional capacity, like how would you take that kind of action? I don't really understand it.
Because
what would have to be signed before to, like, there must have been like some kind of clause, like a turn up clause.
Bands create a legal entity.
Yeah.
So it's really Cruella LLC, limited liability corporation. Right. Everyone has a share in it. And if you want to kick someone out of a band, you have to actually buy them out.
Oh, okay. So it would just be strictly they're going to pay him something.
Eventually. The brand is worth X.
It is. The brand Buddy, is worth a lot. They're really popular.
Exactly. And Buddy is entitled to, well, that's for the courts to decide. But yeah,
maybe the YouTube royalties.
Well, I think you'd want more than that, right? But so that's what's happened with them. And so Cruella has kind of reinvented themselves. They actually reconfigured their logo into something a bit decidedly more like, I don't know, post-metal.
Dude, yeah, I was just gonna say before we play this track, they had like, they labeled the new track as like emo DNB or something. But okay, so I took this track that they played. It's called Goodbye. I think it's is that what it's called? I think it's called Goodbye. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. And I made it. I slowed it down so it's not like a drum and bass track. And I also made it sound like they're playing it live. So it actually sounds like a grunge song that's being played live. We'll be right back. So that's the trip. There's the trip right there. If you want to listen to the non-grunge version, you can go to their SoundCloud, you know, look it up, whatever, it's all good. So it's an interesting sound that they're going towards. It seems like they're going more like Evanescence, you know.
That's what a lot of people have said, is said that it's not unique. It doesn't stand out.
Yeah.
Prior to that single, they had a couple of, I mean, they really crossed over.
They used to be more positive from yeah, that's the songs a good observation. That I've heard.
That's a good observation, Hans. And they kind of straddled that line between Warped Tour, Ultra Music, the Ultra Music Festival. Now, it's they like, definitely sound a bit like, I mean, if you were in Toronto, it's called Edge 102. It's your typical sort of alternative rock.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I slowed it down to make it even more alternative, you know, just to give it a 90s flair kind of sound. It sounds weird and it almost sounds awkward, but that's what I wanted to kind of take out of it.
Well, I think in a way you're kind of exposing something that...
Yeah. Well, we were doing that yesterday. I was, you know, in making these songs, pitching them down lower, making them slower, making the vocals lower or higher, whatever. You kind of see... like a dance song turns into like an 80s power ballad, and it's a really cool experience that we were like messing around with. And I'm gonna get to a whole bunch of more songs like that later in the program.
Yeah, so you have a mixtape coming up like in about like 15 minutes or something.
Yeah,
it's definitely pretty epic, and I think people's ears are gonna be tweaked.
You definitely need to be receptive for it. It's not something that's gonna be so upright and so intense and in your face and gratifying. It's going to take a slow ride, but the transitions are pretty smooth that I think you guys are going to dig it. But
skin up a bifta
and watch some Ross Tings. You know what I'm saying? So Paul, have you ever seen those on your Facebook feed? They have like the videos and they're like kids in Russia doing like, they climbing up insane like towers and stuff with no like harnesses or anything like that.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. The fear in that is like, do you think these people just lack fear? It's crazy. Like I get stomach gurgles, like even watching some of these videos, just because of the shit that these guys do is completely insane.
Oh, no question. I mean, some of it has to do with the perspective of the GoPro or whatever. I mean, you can exaggerate, but there is no question.
There's no exaggerating like 400, 500 feet up.
Exactly. There's no doubt there's some death-defying aspect. Is it so, I mean, obviously fear is going to be prevalent, but they're standing on a ledge, a girder, which will be safe as long as they don't panic.
Yeah, so, that's an interesting point. The panic is what is detrimental to the situation, almost in all circumstances, you know, not just extreme climbing.
True, because in many, many relatively safe circumstances, if you panic, you put yourself in a lot of danger. Just riding your bike down the street, catching the subway.
Totally. That's an interesting point. Because I always thought these dudes, you know, they didn't have fear. Perhaps they do have fear, but they've trained their reflexes to not panic or have some kind of acceptance of something greater. If they fall to their death, it doesn't matter. Like I appreciate that, going to that level.
Well,
is
Hans,
gnarly.
Hans, have you ever been to, you know, in Canada here we have Ontario, we have the Bruce Peninsula, the Niagara Escarpment. You can hike to these extremely high cliffs, and you can just chill on the end of it. Well, should you have fear? What will only would you intend to throw yourself off? Like what's going to happen?
I don't know.
You are on the edge. You are on the edge of death, but
yeah,
it feels cool.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I've chilled with homies. I've gone to different like parks and whatever, bluffs, mountains, and stuff like that, and definitely chilled with like my feet over the side of the edge, looking down, and just thinking about, you know, what if I jumped off? Like, man, that's gnarly to think about. But I mean, you know, the consequences of that are, you know, they're real, but
so like fear only warns you of something you actually don't have control over. If you turn around and there's a gigantic bear or, like an anaconda coming to like squeeze the shit out of you, you should be afraid.
Yeah.
But if you're still, because you're not in control.
It's a reflex. It's an animal reflex, I think.
You're not in control, but if you're...
It's just, it's like a beacon to tell you that your control is like...
But the one thing I have to ask is, why is most of this taking place in Russia?
I don't know. If... If their sense of fear is just lowered, maybe inhibitions by the overconsumption of vodka, I don't know. But I mean, these people are like physically, like super on point. So I don't think these people are under the influence, because if they were, they would fall two or three feet down to their like complete demise.
It's like climbing a rock, or these rock climbers. They do have a harness.
Yeah.
They're making decisions. What's the next best place to get a grip?
Yeah.
To pull up. So they're using some sort of rational.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're not afraid, but they respect the place that they're in, so they're making the correct decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That kind of decision making is real, because it directly affects your existence. And you need to be present in those moments, respecting the areas that you are in and making the decisions based on the outcome you would like to desire to have. And, those videos are absolutely gnarly, and I hope they make more of them. What song do we got coming up next?
I think this is appropriate to pull this in, because this is a celebration song. It's Axwell and Ingrosso, Sebastian Ingrosso and Axwell, who previously in the Swedish House Mafia, they made a lot of impact on the quote-unquote EDM scene. But there's something about this song that just, I feel, is very freeing,
Yeah, no, I like it too, and it's very liberating. It's a very big celebration tune, and I'm glad we're playing it right now. Damn, man, those triplets and that one not drop thing, the that thing is sick, man. I really appreciate, like, hearing something different in a huge celebration tune like that. Man, definitely a big song. I'm glad we played it this evening. And along the lines of Cruella and Emo, dude, do you think, I don't know, I could be wrong in this, but you can give me your opinion. Do you think the Beach Boys were the first emo band?
I absolutely do. I think they're the first pop punk band. They were the first to mix, the pop idea is that it's something everyone can relate to.
Yeah.
Everyday kind of situations, but they elevated it in a way. I mean, harmonically, tonally. Yeah.
The tones are so, when they sing, it's like they hold their notes and they like do the bends, everything together. They like so long, and it reminds me of like, oh, it's Tom DeLonge, whatever. These like extended notes talking about chicks on the beach.
Yeah, Hans, I'm totally convinced that Brian Wilson influenced Tom DeLonge heavily, Mark Hoppus.
Definitely. Actually, I think we got a Beach Boys song we can actually play right now. California, some California girls, something like that.
Is this slowed down or is
this? No, this is not slowed. This is just the realness. I just want you guys to listen to the vibe. Put a smile on your face, something is definitely wrong with you, because that is 100% banging, man.
I mean, the influence that Brian Wilson and Mike Love had on pop music, it's actually quite immense.
Yeah, and I mean also like other bands like Dandy Warhols derive a lot of their harmonies, and even that one song I was listening to, the Sum 41 track, Walking Disaster, man, the guy from Gob did those crazy harmonies, man. That was so sick.
Completely agree.
And yeah, I mean, I'm a huge lover of pop punk.
That's the California sound.
Yeah, man.
Plus,
so good. It's so hype.
Like, plus
it's so
the Beatles.
Hype. Yeah, I mean, the Beatles for like the love and the sway, but the California for the like, it's glammed up, but it's just like you can't get it. It's not like reflective music. It's just pure feel good. It's like injection of vibe.
It's the sunset surfs up tubular shit.
Yeah. Like everybody wants to pack up and move to the West Coast. Like that lyric has probably been on a zillion tracks that I've listened to in the past week. But insofar as how pop punk music, you know, it's evolved from the early stages. I mean, it was from like grunge and like Blink and, you know, post-hardcore.
Blink 182, yeah.
Stuff like that. It's just, it's so crazy how it's like everything's branched off into different subcategories, subgenres. And actually interesting, I don't really like screamo too much, but this one post-hardcore band I actually got into a couple years ago, of Mice and Men, They have like incredible cleans. They switched vocalists a year ago or something. Cleans and screams. It's all about cleans and screams. And I can get down with a good post-hardcore band as long as their cleans are super epic.
And soaring.
And soaring, dude. Like a high clean that's just full of emotion. Like I don't really like listening to post-hardcore too much because I think it gets you in like a negative mood, or it's like it's too downward. The vibe is like it's
too drop D or too drop Z or whatever.
Yeah, drop. What's below? Yeah, drop double D, probably. Yeah, but yeah, along the lines of post-hardcore, this one track of Mice and Men. When I heard it, I think like 2 years ago, I was completely blown away. The track's from 2011. It's called My Understandings. I'm going to play it to you for you, but I refixed it and I made it like a drum and bass track / trip hop track. So it's got like a tricky vibe at the beginning and it's kind of like vibing, and then it goes into like kind of like a drum and bass thing. So I'm going to play it for you, dudes.
Okay, so wait, Hans, before we play this, can you explain to the listeners, what were you doing? You were taking these tracks.
Yeah. It's been a weird episode. It's been a weird day. I spent like 10 hours just fucking around with music.
Yeah.
I don't know, just vibing. It was just a vibe day. Only ate like 3 eggs.
Are you serious? Only 3.
Just want to say shout outs to Nicky Romero's Kickstart sidechain app for that sidechain, the free one.
Yeah, that was pretty
good times.
So Hans, I have a question for you. What do you think the difference is between commitment and obsession?
Is there a context for this, or is just,
yeah, there's a context. I mean, you and I, like, we're very hard workers. We're very committed. We're very dedicated. We don't start something if we don't intend to finish it to, you know, the nth degree. And I had someone tell me once. Yeah. And I had someone tell me once, Paul, you're obsessed.
Obsessed. Did he say what you were obsessed with? Like what?
Music in this case.
It was music.
Okay. And I said to him, said, no, I'm committed.
Yeah.
So what do you think the difference is?
Well, I think that's a good thing. I think being obsessed and committing yourself to the journey of being a musician for your entire life is admirable completely. I think the line blurs when it becomes something negative. Like it'll start impacting your life negatively. If music started impacting your life negatively, which I don't think it would be.
Or any activity for that matter, right?
Yeah. Any activity at all, whether it be harmless or detrimental, everything in balance.
Because, I mean, like, a lot of things can be accomplished in a pretty normal way. I mean, you just, you do steps 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
It's done. You're satisfied. But there's, as you say, the lines are blurred between obsession and completion.
Right. If you're talking about this in the capacity of being an artist, I think the most well-received artists, musicians, photographers, painters are ones that push their boundaries to the nth degree and become, quote-unquote, obsessed with their work and, you know, slightly may develop certain perceptions or habits that, you know, could be perceived as negative. But we love people who go to the farthest reaches of their own existence and push themselves and put themselves in uncomfortable circumstances.
So kind of like those guys in Russia, right? Them.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I don't know if they're thinking that, like, I'm going to do this so people will be hyped on it. I think they're doing it all for themselves. And, you know, those people aren't getting paid any money. Those people are not getting any money. They're just doing what they want to do so they can get that rush and that feeling of pushing themselves to the next level so they can feel that sense of accomplishment. So I think being obsessed with music or obsessed with doing something, that just means you have a spark for something that, you know, I think most people are probably jealous.
That's
if they get negative about you having a certain spark or a certain flair to do something, you know, almost blindly, I would say. Maybe that's the wrong word, but just having a sense of conviction to what you're doing, unsure of the end result, but you're doing it because you love it and it puts a fire under your ass. I think it's completely commendable. So you should tell that dude to fuck off. And if he's listening, fuck you.
Fuck you. Yeah. So right on. All right. So I think this is a really good time to hit off this mixtape.
The 15-minute mix.
So, yeah, this mixtape that Hans made is on a pretty special vibe, and it shows the, you know, music has no boundaries.
It really doesn't.
Ideas have no boundaries.
Yeah.
It's only restricted by basically your own ideas about it. So we're going
to... And the relativity to the tempo, the tempo click thing on Ableton. It's all relative to that, the number. But in this mix, I got a whole bunch of artists. Zed's Dead, a John Denver remix. I got Bombs Over Baghdad by Outkast, DJ Shadow. I got Donkey Kong sounds. Those blips in the back are Donkey Kong sounds. I got an Asheroth of the beat I made myself, Tricky Track, and another Zed's Dead song. So I hope you guys enjoy it. All these tracks are like kind of slowed or sped up. Just trying to interpret it in a different way to try to find a different vibe, but still keeping it vibey. So this is Jackstep, for all you don't know. Get into it.
I threw away my packing up as they were waving me bye-bye. Sometimes all I need is the air that I breathe, and the air that I breathe is something I get high, and I'm falling like God in this heaven. High as stratosphere. Darling, come quick, you can see how high.
Yo, in the meadows where we grow the rose petals, and we sip a glass of Merlot while I blow the portobello like Cruello with a cigarello. Hello, listen up, this is Asher from the Morrisville, a little north of Truck. What the fuck, oh you didn't know? Little homie Flo, he a pro, use a little mo, use a little slow. How slow? Little Kelso, smoking elbows? If so, let me know, I'll just give you my cell phone. Hell froze, Elmo, sticking like Velcro. So you ain't got the posse, you don't get the pesto. Presto, go to infinity and beyond it. Rhyme shit spitting gets imprinted on your conscience. Hash it. Listen, world sitting in your palm, and it's important that you know this so you never get it wrong. Since my mom and Cherie's the tarot cards and the stars, it's called me to go and be a motherfucking boss. Ricky Ross, look at Paul Roth, kid is all talk, he's a narc, he's a lost cause, fuck him, cut him off, but his dog's off his leash. I'm showing y'all my teeth when I speak, yeah, I mean it, bring Prometheus heat, leaning the seat, you think that they be leaping the seat, a commercial MC, keep his ear to the street, because geez, we sick of watching all this shit go on, but this song undone yet, so son, you start marching, I'm marksman, part march Simpson, but the other parts the cart, bars is raw wisdom, my boss art, I talk, part of a large mission, but you rather slack off with sharks than pay attention, so fart, fart, another subpar spitting, yeah, my time is limited, and I refuse to waste a minute, so finish, bust an ass, snuffle up a gas, in the cab, huffing grass, fuck it, I puff it fast, enough of that, all the blab, the suffering, sucking tash, sup with ash, yo, what happened, yo, I heard that fucking crack, yo, I heard he was abducted, they put something in his ass, well, I heard he had a running with a bear and got attacked, oh my gosh, now, where'd you come up with that, yo, go run and tell your mother that this motherfucker's back, and paper or plastic, nah, bring my own bags, now, how you wanna pay for that, straight cash, evil laugh, yeah, I've been playing phone tag for the last 6 months with my label, tell them fools to call me back, I play charades, sipping Chardonnay, 50 times a day, feeling great, can't wait to taste the marmalade, fade away, Himalayan retreat to find me, good grief, loose leaf, I treat it like Bruce Lee, who's he, why you keep seeing truth in 2D, my speech be like I mixed roofies with Cool Key. Liquor I come forth, and they juice me, seduce me, dress me up with stitzy. Hell is round the corner where I shelter. Isms and schisms, the living out of scout. If you believe or deceive, common sense says shouldn't receive. Let me take you down the corridors of my life. And when you walk to, you walk to your preference. No need to answer till I take further evidence. I seem to need a reference to get resident. A reference to your preference to say, I'm a good neighbor. A church to judge me from my labor. The bottom me ensures my good behavior. The struggle ensures my insanity. Passing the ignorance ensures the struggle for my family. We're hungry, beware of our appetite. Distant drums bring the news of a kill tonight. The cure which I share with my passengers. We take our fill, take our fill, take our fill. I stand firm for a soul. Look around, come forth, so they juice me, seduce me. Trust me, you'll be sneaky. Confused by different languages, details of Asian remedies, conversations. I've watched become of enemies, my brain thinks bomb-like. So I listen, he's a contact. And as I grow collective. Before the move, sit on the perspective. Mr. Quayle in the crevice and watches from the precipice. Imperial passage. Heat from the sun, some day slowly passes. Until then, you have to live with yourself. Until then, you have to live with yourself. I stand firm for a
soil. Look around, come forward, and reduce me, seduce me, dress me up in sweet seat.
Come around the corner where I shelter.
Absolutely wicked mixtape.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. The slow, chopped, screwed vibes of the night. It's an interesting space. I mean, sometimes you're compelled to try new things. I just wanted to use Ableton out of the box, you know. Fuck the BPM counter. I just took a bunch of tracks. I literally just transposed them down. And then I locked them in that lower transposition. Some of them I left down in that low pitch. Some of them I pitched them up to the original key that they were in, but they ended up slowed. Like, for example, the tricky one, it was a lot slower, and I sped it up, and it sounded like almost like a UK, like, minimal, like, wub kind of vibe or something. I don't know.
Oh, cool. But wait a minute. You have to tell everybody how you slowed down. What is that track? It's Paul McCartney and the Wings. And when you slowed it down, it sounded eerily like Guns N' Roses.
Dude, that was because it was Guns N' Roses.
It wasn't.
It was.
No.
I was in charge of going on MP3 Skull and downloading the track. And I can guarantee that it's completely Guns N' Roses, not Paul McCartney on that one, Paul. What are you searching it again? Are we going to do this live?
No, we're not.
I don't think we can do that. I don't think the CPU is capable of doing such things. I know you're running a Mac, so you're pretty swagged up. I mean, you know, I got my broken iPad. It still works.
No, but there was no doubt that you were playing Paul McCartney and the
it
Wings.
It was a Palmer. Isn't it a Palmer? Isn't no, it is for die sure, a Paul McCartney track? You.
And when you slowed it down, it sounded exactly like 1989 Guns N' Roses.
So the modulation. I slowed it down to see the future almost.
Exactly.
Is that what you have to do? So maybe slowing down tracks like this that we just did is a way to see the future.
Yeah, like Hans, let's talk about... So yesterday,
mm-hmm.
we had a pretty important recording session.
We did.
We brought your friend.
Yeah, my friend Jess.
Jess
from work. She's got a pretty good voice, eh?
The hands works at this super hype restaurant.
Oh, dude, it's
yeah, man. I work at this super hype restaurant, dude. Totally hype. It's called El Furniture Warehouse. Everything's like $5. We sell like a zillion hamburgers a day. Play skate videos, pop punk music, rap. It turns up every single night. There's like chicks dancing on the tables every single night. It's crazy. It's a fun time, you know.
So you're saying it's turned up with Swiss cheese like added?
No, I mean the Swiss cheese is for the turkey sandwich. Turkey sandwich only or the mushroom Swiss. You can get it added, man. You're gonna pay primo for that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's friggin' intense. Anyways, so my buddy Jess from work. I made friends with her a little while ago on Facebook, you know, whatever. She's on Instagram, and then I found this video of her, and she's like playing the guitar, and it was like a Rocky Raccoon cover, talking about the Beatles again, Paul McCartney connection, LOL. And her voice was like is so natural and raspy, and just like I was like, it looks like she's not even trying, and you know,
it's resonant.
It's totally resonant, and it's completely. And totally sick. So, after a couple of tries to get her over here.
Wait a minute, a couple? Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah.
To get her over here, right.
To get her over here. After a couple, you know, days of not convincing, but, you know, the timing just wasn't right. So we finally got her over here, and we recorded some stuff, and we're actually going to play a snippet of the song. We don't even know the name of it yet, but we we're prepared to let you hear a little bit of it. So here it is.
Started out in a place we knew in love. I never guessed to be about the lies and never being enough. Who are you to make me feel this way? Feel this way. Who are you to make me feel this way? I drove myself insane.
So that was a really short clip, but
it is a pretty short clip. But I mean, our time constraints were we had about maybe an hour or two, and she had to get into a place where she felt comfortable enough to start singing, to relax her vocal cords and stuff. Yeah. And I think we got a couple of good takes out of it, so we'll see where the song progresses. But we're pretty stoked on it.
Oh, no question. I mean, it definitely has an uplifting vibe. And it was really amazing to see someone who she has not recorded. Formally, in a lot of situations,
she's only recorded once before,
right? And I think she felt really comfortable here. And was her friend's name again?
Her friend was like super stoked.
Oh, he was so
he was stoked.
He almost
got stoked. I think he got contact high from upstairs, and then he just came down to the studio and kind of like. Looked at everything and then just collapsed.
It's that couch
on the couch with like ultimate vibes. Like,
yeah, I mean, and he checked out everything. He's like, okay, I feel the vibes here. Just like, excuse me while I go.
Excuse me while I just like get tidal waved, like tsunamied into this friggin' couch and just friggin' just literally melt into it, like a tub of molasses on a dewy morning grove in New Orleans. You know, the best, but. Isn't it funny, like, talking about getting in a creative space? Like, what gets you in a creative space, Paul? And, like, can it be calculated? Is it just, like, when it hits you? 'Cause, you know, like, being a creative person, like, you're not always going to feel creative. And sometimes you're going to want to feel forced to do things for the sake of doing it so you can feel accomplished. But what's your process?
Well, when you say when... you get comfortable, that's a question of time. Yeah. And time is relative. You can get into a creative space at any moment, at any time, if the conditions are right. And that kind of harkens back to what we were talking about in the first episode, you know, conditions.
Yeah. I mean, even this, I mean, it took me like 8,000 tries to get the first 15 seconds. But once we roll, once we roll, it seems to be pretty organic and the conversation just flows back and forth. And that energy, I think it's developed or it becomes easier or something. It definitely becomes easier over time. And the conditions, it's all about the conditions. You're right, Paul, you're absolutely right. It's about the conditions being conducive for being creative. And speaking of having conditions to be creative, during the mix, I just ordered some pizza and, the vibe came over me to start like rapping to the person who's taking my order. And, it was difficult for me to contain my laughter as well as Paul, but we were just vibing to the Asher Roth beat.
And it's the perfect way to close the show for the Burner Files.
Definitely.
So Episode 2.
So we're going to let you guys hear this pizza order that I ordered. I'm going to spoil it for you. I got an extra large pizza with pepperoni and hot and honey chicken wings that I'm going to absolutely destroy in like 15 minutes. Yeah, stoked.
But Johans, it isn't here yet, right?
It's not here yet. So you're going to hear the drama. I'm going to eat it. It's going to be eaten by the time you hear this. But I want to show you guys this, the vibe. The conditions were perfect. So all we got to do is listen to this order and we'll be fucking sick. So thank you guys for tuning into the Burner Files. This is Podcast 2 signing off. I'm Hans.
I'm Paul.
Burner Files. Hope you guys have a ballin' day, night, morning, evening.
Oh, really? I smoke it. It's wild. Yeah, definitely. My phone number is 647-847-7053. I would like to. I'll get just a bottle of water. Is it 3 topping pizza? 1 topping. Okay, I'll definitely get pepperoni, please. Negative. I think I'll have some chicken wings, breaded, please. That would be 10. Breaded wings, please, yep. If I could get hot sauce and honey garlic sauce on the wings, that'd be great. Thank you. That sounds like a good deal. I'll take it.
Should be there within 40 minutes or expect.
Could you please send the debit machine so I can pay with that card, please? Thank you very much.